Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat shalom, shabbat shalom. Welcome to another seventh day of rest and the Sabbath. You are listening to Blueprint for Life. Blueprint for Life in reference to the commandments that we're supposed to keep and the precepts that our Father gave us. Hear, O Israel, one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one power. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. So be it.
Well, brothers and sisters, I'm sitting here with my brother, Brother Ray. He's sitting right here. You he greet the people. We're talking a lot.
Shabbat shalom. All peace to the house of Jacob, the house of Israel. Peace to the 12 tribes are scattered throughout all four corners of this earth. Knowing that the only true leader, the only true power in this earth is Ahaya. And we give all praises, all glory to him. And we're thankful for that Shabbat day that tells us that we can rest and come together.
All praises to the Most High. So, brother, we're going to get in these precepts today?
Absolutely.
My brother drove all the way down here from Carmel, about an hour and a half out, 2 hours out.
Yeah, me and my wife came down from Seaside. About an hour and about 40 minutes, we got a little room out here last night. We're going to stay here until Sunday, the first day of the week, and then we're going to head back to our little corner of the earth.
Right. And, you know, we we like to get together also on these airwaves and, like, prophesy into the wind, like you said on Thursday, and encourage our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We appreciate those that tune in, those of you that listen to the archives, and we hope you're being blessed and encouraged to just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. We don't want you following some camp. We don't want you following a man. We want you following Yeshua, yes. HaMashiach, and these scriptures. Every brother, you need to know that you are the pastor of your house.
Yes.
You are responsible for teaching your children, your wife. It's not no Pastor Creflo and Pastor Jakes run your house. You're the head of your house as long as you're following Christ, and Christ is underneath Ahiah. So that's the order that it's in. And your wife comes up underneath that. And I don't know why that just came to mind, but I can't stress that enough, that I need every brother out there to know that you are the head of your household, and you need to instruct your family on how to follow these precepts and keep these commandments, because that's the only thing that's going to change us. I used to always say, if you could change a man, you can change a neighborhood, you can change a city, you could change a state, you could change a whole society. If you can teach him the truth and bring him into these commandments, you will impact change. So I don't know. I just had to get that out.
Good. Like bro said, we live in perilous times. Since we're in perilous times, the best way to protect the ones you love is go back to those laws, statutes, and commandments. Be the head of your household to show them the way that if you keep those commandments, as it says in the word, we will live. And there's nothing more important than that, teaching those that we love to live righteously, live in accordance and in obedience to the Most High. And that starts with your seed, starts with your family, and everything that comes after those lines. And that's the only way you can break these curses and these things that's going against you in these times.
So as we do, as they did in Acts 13th chapter, our people, Israel, and even the Gentiles would assemble in the synagogues, listen to the reading of the laws, and then they would exhort as well. So we want to read some of the laws as well on this Shabbat. So I'm going to start with Leviticus, the 7th chapter. It says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. Now, I'm just reading some of the laws that they used to read, but we know that there's over 600 and something laws, and they're not all applicable to us right now because we no longer have our land, our synagogue, our place of worship because we're in captivity.
Yes.
But we're just trying to remember these laws and rehearse them.
And the most important thing about that, if we can look at what our brother just said, that the reason why the laws are not all applicable to us right now, because we are in a land of our captivity, because our forefathers would not obey those laws. And now we're under unjust ruler, unjust laws, that we're in our captivity, that these yokes are put upon us, and the burdens of these unfair laws are put upon us, and we can see the fruits of these labors, these laws, they're unrighteous upon us. So if we got a chance to turn back to the laws and the statutes that are righteous, that, you know, most frankly will live better, we should turn back. If you're in this country that we call America right now, you can wake up and be an endangered species tomorrow. If you go in front of these judges they have over you, you'll have unfair rules, laws, and judgments against you. The sin offering that you need to make, the atonement that you need to make, is actually your life. You need to live your life as a daily sacrifice so everybody can see, as well as being glory to Yeshua, HaMashiach, that you are going to turn away from these laws that are unrighteous and go back to his laws, salvation.
Now, you know, like, for instance, Brother Ray, like Leviticus, the 13th chapter, talks about leprosy, and we don't think that exists because we've considered leprosy now vitiligo, the Michael Jackson disease, mm-hmm. but leprosy still exists. And we were instructed that if we even saw the hairs on a certain person being white, that they had leprosy and they were supposed to not be in the camp. And we live in a time now where everybody's dyeing their hair blonde, the women, the men, brothers. And that was considered a sign of leprosy in Leviticus, the 13th chapter.
The law, some of the simplest laws we have are just the cleanliness laws about if you're sick, don't come around the rest of the congregation. You can take those to worship out on Sunday. They have all sorts of colds, flus, come around each other, and they said, we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you.
Right, right, right.
Even your prayers are an abomination. And why is that? Because the Father already instructed you what you need to be in, what state you need to be in while you're sick. So you can pray all you want to be, but that flu or that germ or that thing is going to go around the rest of the congregation and get more people sick.
And that's a given. We should all... That law is for our protection. Even at your place of work, they ask you not to come to work if you're sick because you are jeopardizing the health of the other employees. So it's like that's for your protection, and we should know that. That's a given. But most people don't know that that's a law.
Absolutely. There's not one law that we can look on this planet that hasn't originated from the Word. Now, the laws that originated from the Word, you take man, beast, which we know these different nations have twisted it for their own desire and their own lust, because their lust is for the love of money. So whatever they're going to twist the law for their benefit, that they can make them more ill-gotten gain, they will. But the laws that the Father made for us is for us to have life, and life more abundantly.
He did say, I came that you might have life. And that more abundantly.
But we take abundance, a more abundant life is having a new BMW, a new Mercedes,
right.
A bigger house.
Right.
Israel, if we actually understand these laws and these precepts, my brother's house wouldn't look no different from me. We wouldn't look no richer. We wouldn't look no poorer than
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
We would look the same. Life more abundantly for us is actually being able to wake up, be healthy, have our seed, they populate, be healthy, and keep this generation going. Not dying out as Adam did, not even living a day after he sinned. Life more abundantly is having us live many days. So what the image of the beast will give you as a life more abundantly is what they call bling bling. All those images.
Right.
Women running around you. But that's what life more abundantly the Father's not talking about. So that's the reason why we need to learn these laws, turn back to his will and his way, so we'll understand when he's talking about these things, they're not a code. They're written for our understanding. For all those things you need to do, get understanding.
In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And that's a scripture that came to mind when you said that, when you talk about abundance. And I'm just reading it like it is. It's written in the KJV Bible. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And it says that his presence, how we get there, I said this last week, he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want that abundance, you also got to learn how to be grateful and in a praise state of mind.
Absolutely. The thing that came to mind was Crowfellow Dollar. We would see him talking about they have a gospel called prosperity for a lot of these people out there, and he's the one that came to mind. But their prosperity gospels, he's got a bunch of planes, a bunch of houses, and I guess he's telling them all, they can be like that, just turn over their money and their tithes to him, and the Lord is going to bless them for those things.
Right.
And again, that's the adversary confusing us, Israel, putting those things and images in our heads that are falsehoods. Again, turning us away from the commandments and away from his way, because a life more abundantly is not a bigger car, a bigger house, or a plane of those things. So we got to understand that the laws, when we look at Levitical, if you look at the whole book of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they're all based on how we can live, look at our forefathers, the things they did right, look at the forefathers, the things they did wrong, so we can see those errors, correct them in our lives, and again go forward.
Yeah, I think this world tries to get us to chase after material things, and there's nothing wrong with having them, but I think we need to understand that when the Father said, I'll give you the desires of your heart, know this, when you really fall in love with him, your desires will change. He won't let you have the same desires you used to have when you were in the world. He changes your desires. He changes the things that you want to have, because you become like Moses. Moses just wanted more of a higher. When he asked Moses what he wanted, he said, show me your glory.
Yes.
That's what he said he wanted. Show me your glory, because it's addictive. It's transformative when you get in his presence.
Yes. Moses was transformed. They couldn't even stand to see his radiance.
There you go. They said, please cover up. We can't take it. You've been with the Father.
And I think that's a great point, because those that are walking in his faith, those that are trying to walk in these statutes and commandments, we're not looking for the bigger, better thing. We're actually looking to have more of a higher in our life, in our words, in our actions, in our deeds. And those things are transforming. You can see the world, run away from you, stay away from you, because you want to keep these commandments. And you can see them shunning you because you want to keep these commandments. Actually, if you're crazy, you're taking the word too literally, but to have a life more abundantly, walking these statutes will keep you more safe and keep you more aware of the tricks of the adversary. Let you know that the fruits that you're trying to bear fruit, get good fruit or bad fruit, are they coming from the adversary or are they coming from your Creator, the Most High?
I'm going to share some things out of the wisdom of Solomon. My brother, you can chime in when you hear these things. I was going through this morning. I'm reading out of the Apocrypha, the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9. For inquisition shall be made into the counsels of the ungodly, and the sound of his words shall come unto the Lord for the manifestation of his wicked deeds. For the ear of jealousy heareth all things, and the noise of murmurings is not hid. Therefore, beware of murmuring, which is unprofitable, and refrain your tongue from backbiting, for there is no word so secret that shall go for naught. And the mouth that bellyeth slayeth the soul. Seek not death in the air of your life. And I'm going to skip over to the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 21, in reference to wisdom and the Ruach. It says, and all such things as are either secret or manifest, them I know. For wisdom, which is the worker of all things, taught me, for in her is an understanding spirit, holy, one only, manifold, subtle, lovely, clear, undefiled, plain, not subject to hurt, loving the thing that is good, quick, which cannot be let it, ready to do good, kind to man, steadfast, sure, free from care, having all power, overseeing all things, and going through all, understanding pure and most subtle spirits. Verse 24, for wisdom is more moving than any motion. she passeth and goeth through all things by reason of her pureness. For she is the breath of the power of the Most High, and a pure influence flowing from the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, can no defiled thing fall into her. For she is the brightness of the everlasting light, the unspotted mirror of Ahiah in the image of his goodness. And being but one, she can do all things, remaining in herself. She maketh all things new, and in all ages, entering into holy souls, she maketh them friends of Ahiah and prophets. For the Most High loveth none but him that dwelleth with wisdom. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
For she is more beautiful than the sun, and above all the order of stars, being compared with the light, she is found before it. For after this cometh night, but vice shall not prevail against wisdom. So when we were talking about that glory, that scripture just said that Ahiah loves those that dwelleth with wisdom, which is the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, and is that type and shadow of the house mm-hmm. that we just talked about.
We see that wisdom of Solomon, I think it was very prophetic. I also like the most important about the wisdom of Solomon, that he lost his wisdom because he turned away from Ahiah and his commandments. And
right.
We can see the kingdom getting ripped from him. He got the wisdom, I think, as we started off the lesson when Brother V said he didn't know why it was put on him that the father is the head of the household. He got his wisdom because it stayed so long inside of Ahiah that wisdom got rubbed off onto his son. And when he first started coming out, Ahiah would not even take the kingdom from him until after he passed away, because he was dwelling in that Ruach that the father passed on to his seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can find the wisdom by finding the word and letting that word, that spirit, dwell in us and changing us.
Mm-hmm.
Being changed by renewing of our mind. That's the true wisdom that we get from the word.
Be transformed.
But when we look for wisdom, unfortunately, when we're in the land of our captivity and this adversary is going against us so much, that we find wisdom in the wrong places, in the wrong people. They give you a doctrine of a man and the traditions of men versus what we find from our Father. So when you find wisdom, make sure it lines up from precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line, and you'll find that wisdom in the Word, and be there transformed.
Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Ahiah.
Absolutely.
And so he's commanding us to dwell with wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from the Father, but it's blasphemy when you speak against the Ruach, HaKadosh, because, let me see if I can say it like this. That's his woman. He's saying, don't talk about my woman, or it's over.
It's many times where you see the spirit is actually considered like a feminine. The most important thing I got from what you just said is you got to have the word be your wisdom. And there'll be plenty of times that man will teach you when you're questioning the teachings of a man. They'll act like you're actually questioning the spirit. They'll tell you to walk in these precepts, walk in these concepts, like these different camps. Once you come into the knowledge of the truth, it's over them. It's actually like testing the spirit, which is not the same. The spirit is at the behest of the Father. It's at the behest of giving you knowledge, as we just said, this wisdom. All men are not doing that. You got to understand, if they do anything that lines up against the word, Are they leading you into all truth? Because that's what the Spirit leads you into, all truth. So when we're looking at walking these statutes and commandments, they're very important that you are thoroughly furnished in all these things. The only way you can be thoroughly furnished in this word is to be walking in these statutes, laws, and commandments.
So when you were talking about Solomon reading from the wisdom, we also remember that the one thing Solomon did ask for was wisdom. And because the Most High said, you've asked for these things, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you all these things. Mm-hmm. Because he was amazed that that's the one thing he asked for. So kings from all over the world would come to sit at Solomon's feet and to hear his wisdom, which was very simplistic, you know. Mm-hmm. But simplicity, I used to always say this, it's like closeness to the Father.
Well, the word is supposed to be simplistic. The word is. It's not made to be hard. The word itself is made to be easy to understand. Now, you take the confusion, comes from all these different men. It comes from the adversary that makes things convoluted, to make things more complicated than what they need to be. Now, when we look at the word as far as way we're supposed to walk, if you have any confusion, and that's when we talk about simplicity, if you have any confusion, just go to the gospel. You walk the same way that Yeshua walked. If Yeshua kept the feast days, you keep the feast days. If it was Yeshua's custom to worship on a Sabbath, then you would worship on a Sabbath. If it was Yeshua's way to keep the dietary laws, then you would keep the dietary law. If it was Yeshua's way to keep all the statutes that are written of this, that's true wisdom. You can't get no better wisdom from that, because if you understand what we're reading out of the Song of Solomon, when he asked for that wisdom, he was asking for Yeshua to be a part of him. He was asking for Ahiah to guide him in his word, actions, and deeds. What happened to him was he went away from that. But when you're asking for that wisdom, that's what you're asking for. So if you have any confusion, that's why the word is so simple. Only thing you got to do is point to the gospel, walk as he's walked, live as he lived, and that would get you back to the knowledge of the truth. That would get you back to true understanding. When Moses was teaching, when we look at those words, again, Yeshua was there. He was that cloud during the day. He was at fire at night. We see that in 1 Corinthians 10 when Paul go ahead and relays that back. When Paul was teaching, it was Yeshua. Again, that comforter was sent to him that gave him all his wisdom. So never are we looking at a different word or different teaching. We can only go back to what was taught in the gospel. And it tells you in 1 Galatians, you look at the first thing, anybody teach you a different gospel, let them be a curse. Let them, even if an angel comes down to heaven, if you got one of these so-called aliens that come down, and they tell you, all right, you can eat pig, you know it's a different gospel. If they tell you that, you know, worshiping any day of the week is fine, it's a different gospel. It doesn't matter where that being comes from. We know that the word's even told you, any angel in heaven try to teach you something different than when Yeshua taught you, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where true wisdom comes from. And he got that again, like I said, I thought what my brother said so early in the beginning of the show, he said he didn't know why that spirit put upon him. He got that from his daddy. And that your children can point back to you teaching them these laws, statutes, and you taught your children some wisdom.
Let me see. We were talking about simplicity. Romans 12 and 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And let me go back to the other one that was here. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of a higher, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you forward. So we can understand these complexities with simplicity, because it's in the scriptures and it's talked about that we must be, he's not saying be simple. No. We're not going to just be simple, but you can do things in a simplistic manner where it's understood clearly. I think this world is too busy. People love to hear themselves talk.
Absolutely.
And people love complicating things because they have an incessant need to be complex, because it makes them feel like there's some type of value.
Well, I think a lot of the word comes back to that is just humbling yourself,
mm-hmm.
while we're in front of the presence of our Lord and our Master. The reason why we don't want to humble ourselves, because we're so busy trying to exalt ourselves over one that says, okay, the one thing that happens, and we can make this very clear, who's going to lead you into salvation? It's only one that's going to lead us into salvation. But you'll hear many people say, I led you into this truth. I gave you this.
Yeah.
You can't give me anything, brother or sister, if the Most High hasn't ordained it for you to teach it. None of these words were given to me, other except for the Master, the Most High, decided to give it. Let me say it, because he's the one that passed it on. I didn't create the heavens, the earth, the star, the moon, the land that we walk on. So everything that I say has just been a gift from the Ruach to let me share. Now, anybody that comes to you and says that I did this, I gave you this, nobody knew these things before I passed it on, that's a lie. This is because before, what did he say in John 51, before Abraham was, I am.
That's
so
right.
So if it was going all the way back to Abraham, then nobody else that's living today could give you anything.
That's
because
right.
Because that's when Most High broke it down.
That's right.
Before that time.
That's right.
So we so quick to look for the teachings of man. And when you're looking for wisdom, you need to look in this word. Every man, woman that listens, it shouldn't be 10 years later where you're still studying to show yourself approved. You should be in this word being able to teach those. You should be able to, in this word, be able to give the lesson out to those who can understand, to open their eyes.
Right.
We should never be forever studying and never learning.
Right. Most definitely. All praises to the Most High. The brother telling y'all straight true. All of y'all that's sitting up here waiting on somebody else to give you a revelation. Now, the Father will speak and reveal things through the mouth of his prophets. But like he said, if somebody's going around saying, I brought you this, I did this, okay, there's a problem right there.
Yes, it is.
There's a problem right there. Nobody should be taking the credit for anything. It should be in the spirit of humility that somebody prophesies to you. And most prophets are just proclaiming what is already written in Scripture.
Yes.
They're not supposed to be coming with some new revelation. So you shouldn't be saying, I taught you this, when it's been there all along.
Yes, I'm going to go to a scripture that we all know. That just bears out a lot of fruit. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one tittle will pass away from the law, till everything be fulfilled. Just like our brother says, it's not like we're bringing you something new. This was written down from the law and the prophets.
Exactly.
And Yeshua is only fulfilling everything out that was already preordained from the beginning of time. So if somebody's saying they come and they brought you this, they taught you this, what are you teaching from what the prophets didn't already bear fruit out of us? You telling me you're teaching me something that Ezekiel didn't teach me? Or are you teaching me something that Isaiah didn't teach me? Because they talked about the last days as well as the first days. So everything in between, that's what they're prophesizing, just like the stars in the sky. So you got to understand that the adversary is going to use every tool against man, woman, and child to separate you from the Most High. When he talked to Eve, he used subtlety. He used a little lie with a little truth. A little truth with a little lie. So you can hear something, because we have so many itching ears. We want to gravitate to somebody talking to us and go away from that truth. Go away from the wisdom of the Most High. But you can look at everything that was written from the law and the prophets, and if somebody's thinking they're teaching you something different, like he says again in Galatians 1, let that person be accursed, because the Most High has already revealed everything to us. And that's the reason why when we get done, we always say, all glory to the Most High, all glory to a higher Shah, because he's the one that revealed this to us.
That's right.
It's not the one of the first times I met my brother, one of the coolest things he said to me, and I couldn't wait to keep speaking to him, because I asked him, how long has he been truth? How long he's woken up? He said, well, you know, Most High is the one who woke me up. We just gradually getting along this state when he sees fit. And it was, again, another way for me to see that word be living, because it wasn't because I woke up with some greatness of me.
Yeah.
It was the Most High that he knew me from the womb.
Yeah.
He said, this is about time. All right, son, get up. It's time to go.
That's right.
I'm waking you up.
Yeah, it's been a process. We were talking about how it's been a process our entire lives, because I can remember, things happened to me when I was a child that led to this progression.
Yes.
So everything played a part. So with these people saying, how long you been in this truth? Brother, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know? So it was a gradual succession, and everything in your life, your events, everything led you to where you are right now. You can't discount anything and say, oh, I've been in this truth for like 2 years, 1 year, 5 years. Nah. It was a slow progression. I mean, if I could, you know, I can remember in college something shook me. I can remember in 92 when I was in L.A. It's the first time I heard about you, a Hebrew Israelite. I didn't listen to it all. I went back to the Christian church. But, you know, so let me read this, because this is Ecclesiastes, first chapter, first verse. It's right on top of what you're talking about with these brothers and sisters trying to say that they invented something new, they created some name, or mm-hmm. I taught you this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passed away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, hither they return again. Are full of labor, but man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. This is the key part right here, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Amen. Yeah,
so, okay. Now let's go back to everybody talking about they got a new revelation and we just got revealed all these times and we know this and we found this out and we got all this. It's
nothing new under the sun. The days of Noah will happen again. And we can see that bearing its fruit out now too.
Yes. It's repeating itself.
Yes. Sodom and Gomorrah, them Sodomites ran around. You got America making a law nowadays that says revel in sodomy. Yeah. So if somebody comes to you and tell you, well, I predicted that this is going to happen. Now, we, as us being officers of the Most High, we can tell you that because the Most High has revealed this to us, we saw these things going to happen. And we understand these things are going to happen. But it wasn't because it was some greatness of us. The Most High has revealed it, because there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that he showed us from the past is not going to be happening in our days and our times. Some of the things that he revealed to us, just like we look at the revelation of John, when Yeshua showed him all those different things, and some of those things he couldn't comprehend. Some of those things he couldn't understand. Now, we look at it nowadays, and we say, okay, we have a better understanding of it. We can say it because some of these things have lived out and played themselves out. But again, Yeshua saw the end from the beginning. So it's nothing new that we're seeing. He's just telling us those that walk in his truth will be able to see things better than those that are lost. Because the blind leading the blind, they're both going to end up in a ditch. So if you're not walking in this truth, you're not striving to separate yourself from the shackles of man, the traditions of this world, you will stay blind. You will stay lost. You will forever be learning. It'd be some brothers. And you can get 20,000 books. You can get 20 books nowadays. And I'm not saying the books are bad. You can learn a whole bunch of stuff about you being Israel. You can learn a whole bunch of stuff about how to keep your temple. But if you're not spreading this gospel around, if you're not teaching others to obey these commandments, what good is it? What profit has you done learn, or what profit you have gained if you're keeping this stuff and you're ever learning and you're waiting for some man to give you marching orders? You're giving some man waiting for you to give directions. The only direction you have that you need to follow is the one from the Most High. He's already told you to go out from city to city, from house to house, and spread this word. You ain't supposed to wait until next month. You ain't supposed to wait 3 months. You ain't supposed to linger in the same state that you're in. You're supposed to, after you heard this truth, got a thorough knowledge of this understanding, go ahead and spread this gospel. Because this gospel is of the kingdom that's coming to this planet, to America, Russia, China, to those Israelis, to the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. It's coming to this world. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord of lords, kings of kings. He is the Most High. He's the creator. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Aleph and the Tav. The beginning from the end. And everyone will be able to see that and confess that.
Yes.
So you need to be spreading this to let everyone that's in darkness know, I don't need you to follow the preachers. I don't need you to follow the elders. I don't need you to follow the deacons that are not in this truth. You need to be following the word, and he's going to lead you into all truth, and he'll lead you to righteous elders.
Yes.
He'll lead you to righteous preachers. He'll lead you into righteous rabbis, they say. But he'll lead you into all this stuff so that you'll bear out perfect fruit, that you'll bear out righteous fruit, and you'll be able to live out these commandments and these principles that he's already put in place. It's not for you to stay in one state, brothers and sisters.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6. I was actually looking for a scripture that talks about the fact that reverting back into sin is like becoming a pillar of salt. And when I heard that scripture, I'm trying to find this in the Apocrypha. It made me think about Lot. Exactly, because she turned back to look at what was being destroyed. And we are in those times with the passing of these laws. Now, I'm not totally rejoicing that I'm seeing these laws fulfilled, but it lets me know that this Bible's true, prophecy's being fulfilled, and we're getting closer to the time of the return of our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes, our brother.
He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. All these things must be fulfilled. So my brother's saying y'all need to keep these commandments, these laws. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6. Well, he's trying to find that verse, but I'm going to read this real quick. 6 and 17. For the very true beginning of her, speaking of the Ruach HaKadosh, is the desire of discipline. And the care of discipline is love. And love is keeping her laws. And the giving heed unto her laws is the assurance of incorruption. And incorruption maketh us near unto Ahaya. Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom. The desire of wisdom brings us to a kingdom. It says the love of keeping the laws is you drawing close to wisdom and incorruption. Verse 19 says, and incorruption maketh us near to Ahiah. Let me see if I can break that down for you. Keeping the laws brings you closer to incorruption.
Yes,
and
yes.
Incorruption brings you closer to Ahiah. Did you just hear that?
Uh-huh.
Did you just hear that?
Yes, I did. You know, as they say back in the day, no true words were ever spoken.
That's deep. Mm-hmm. The more we practice these commandments and we talk about them, because don't take this for granted. That's why on the Shabbat we like to do this lesson about the statutes, laws, and commandments. But the closer you come to keeping these commandments in your life, the closer you come to Ahaya, because it makes you closer to incorruption.
Yeah.
And that's the wisdom of Solomon speaking.
Mm-hmm.
All praises to the Most High.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother. You want to say something?
Just one of the things about the word is so prophetic, you know, and that's why all the prophets prophesize it, is that whenever there's doubt in your life, because we're going to have trials and tribulations, and this word is not the yoke of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
The word is actually freedom. But when we have these struggles on us, we can find wisdom that help us deal with all things. Help you deal with your relationship when it comes to a husband and wife.
Yeah.
Help you deal with your relationship when it comes to your children, daughter, son. It helps you deal with your nieces, nephews, grandparents as they're getting ready to move on until the next part of what we'll call death. It's going to help you deal with those. So unrighteous spirits won't take hold of you and take heed of you and lead you astray. See, we look at this wisdom so the Spirit will lead us into all truth, that we won't be as Malcolm X said, we won't be hoodwinked and bamboozled. We won't be led astray by false spirits.
Yeah,
false
doctrines. That was Malcolm.
Yes, that was Malcolm.
Yeah.
So we look for this wisdom so we can identify what the fruits of the Spirit are, so we can understand when we need to have patience. So we can understand when we need to show love. And again, love is the keeping of the commandments. When we need to have that rod. When we need to actually give it a bracelet or a kiss. So wisdom gives you all those different things we need. Just like Solomon had that wisdom, even though he knew he had to have enough wisdom when to build that temple to the Most High. And when he was going to use angels to help him build it versus man to help him build it. So we need wisdom in all things in our life to construct this body.
Solomon even said in the wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha chapter 7, verse 7, wherefore I prayed and understanding was given me. I called upon Ahiah and the spirit of wisdom came to me.
Mm-hmm.
There it is there. So, you know, brothers and sisters, there's a...
What's a good thing that you just said about that is, who did he call on?
Ahiah.
He had to call on Ahiah. So that means you don't call on any camp. That means you don't call on any man. The first thing you need to do is humble yourself, call out to the Most High, ask him for this word, and he's going to send you what you need. He's going to send you, just like the Ethiopian eunuch got somebody sent to him to give that word to him. He's going to send you what you need. You just got to call on the high, and he's going to give you in all truth. But you got to stay in the word, brothers and sisters. You got to stay every day. It's the same way that Paul had to buffet himself to see if he was of the spirit, see if he was of the faith. That's what we need to do. And that will lead us to that wisdom that we need to live our life.
You're talking about the eunuch that got baptized right away. He didn't have to wait 3 months? I'm not going to start that again.
He didn't have
to. Don't let nobody tell you to wait 3 months to get baptized. But go ahead, bro.
he didn't have to go online to get some instructions. He didn't have to go back to Egypt and read the pyramid walls.
He didn't have to get no conference call.
He didn't have to. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and baptize you, Ethiopian eunuch, but let's talk about 10 other people first, and let's see what happened with these different precepts. You know, the word just tells us not to linger.
Me and my brother being humorous right now based on some other information that we received, but when he brought up the eunuch, I just had to say that because we need to get back to this word, brothers and sisters. We need to get back to these scriptures, this word. Be like Solomon, pray for wisdom, keep the commandments so that we can get close to incorruption, and with incorruption being out of our lives, we get closer to the Father. You know, we got to stop with the foolishness. It's real simple. It's real simple and plain. It's real simple and plain. And Solomon said it. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nobody giving you no new revelation. If your body is the temple, your body is a tabernacle that houses the Ruach HaKadosh, a higher breathed into you the moment you came out of the womb. And the thing about it, Jeremiah, the first chapter, told us. He said, before I even formed you in the womb, before I let mama and daddy get together and enjoy the experience of making you, I called you and sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations.
Look at Genesis, when he formed us out the dust of the ground. He breathed into us his spirit.
There you go.
A living being. So what he breathed into us on that very first day of creation, that light, that was a light unto the world. What he breathed into us was his laws, statutes, and commandments. What he breathed into us was his Father's time. What he breathed into us was his Sabbath day. What he breathed into us was how to keep our temples. What he breathed into us was all manner of righteousness and wisdom. Now, he let us have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to pick the tree of life?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to pick the adversary, his little good and evil? So you have a choice when you're doing this daily walk. You have a choice in where you live in this planet. You know, this is what you're going to get judged on. And then you're going to have judgment put upon you from every action, word, and deed. So seek his wisdom. Seek his face. So he won't hide his face from you. That he won't ignore your prayers. All these things, all this wisdom, his word, his law, is all truth. We find because he's the way, the truth, and the life. We can't come to the Father unless we have Yeshua living in us, not around us, not something that we got to pick up and put down. He's got to be inside of you. You have to clean out all this crap that's in your body so he can dwell inside of you. He should be a living part of your lungs, your kidneys, this mind, that third eye that you have. He should be a living part of everything that you do. When you go to work, that light should be upon you. When you have this Sabbath day, that light should be upon you. When you're dealing with your family, that light should be upon you. Because, like we said earlier, he decided to wake us up gradually. So while he was waking us up gradually, he had a whole bunch of patience with us because we kept being knuckleheads. Every time he tried to wake us up, we tried to go right back to sleep.
Yeah, grace and mercy, yeah.
So we understand what the Father's done for us and what he continues to do for us. So we're thankful for this. We're thankful for that the captivity that we're in right now, that he's only had it for a short season as it is. Because unless he sped up time, no flesh would survive. That's how pitiful this adversary is going after his creation, that no flesh will survive.
Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. This world is not for you. Satan is the prince and power of the air. You look at Isaiah, the 14th chapter, he had a 5-point plan. You look in the book of Matthew's and the Gospels, you'll see after Yeshua, how Mashiach came off his fast, he took him to the top of the mountain and yes. Showed him this whole world and said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. It's no different for you. He's trying to get you to sell out, but you can't see it. It comes through your bosses, your jobs, these contracts of fame and fortune. Humble yourself. Seek wisdom. And don't give in to the ways of this world and what this world is offering and the Kool-Aid that they're trying to give you to drink. He's like a roaring lion. He comes to kill, destroy,
maim, whatever he can get his hands on. He's looking to destroy. I want to go back to something that we're just talking about wisdom. And it's up to each brother and sister to search this upon himself to see if it's true. Be like the Bereans. Me, I look for wisdom in my life. One of the things that I felt like wisdom has brought me, like you said earlier, about an hour and a half up here, about an hour and 40 minutes it brought me up here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we did before we got in this lesson, we're looking at a book of herbs, talking about different things.
You're talking about health.
Cancer.
Yeah.
High blood pressure. But unless we're seeking each other out, unless we're trying to lay hands upon each other, unless we're actually doing these fasts for one another, we stay in the same state. That's the actual point of wisdom. He told us to come together. Do not forsake the assemblies of ourselves. How are you going to get all this knowledge and this information? How are you going to get wisdom unless we come together and share it upon once another?
Right.
Now, if somebody's telling you that you don't have to come to assemble, if somebody's telling you to forsake it just to go online or watch a video or do this, they're diminishing what the Ruach and what the Spirit has already led us into, what is truth. We're supposed to come together. I have a different gift for my brother to sit next to me. My brother here has a different gift that he has just for me. We come together and we're making up part of this vine. We're making up part of this body so we can impart this gift upon my seed, his seed, and then the other people that we'll come in contact with. But unless we can lay hands on each other, unless we can pray for each other in righteousness and take this step, we can't get this wisdom like that. We actually have to see it lived out. You can't live it out if you're sitting only in your room. You can't live it out if you're not actually taking that walk like Yeshua walked. Walk as he walked. He met in the synagogue. He kept his disciples around. The adversary approached him in public places.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when they picked the ears of corn, the Pharisees tried to hem him up. His disciples right there firsthand getting that knowledge how to beat the adversary back.
Right.
And they were getting wisdom that way. When he healed the sick, they were right there getting that wisdom from him. And then what did they do? They went out and they did the same thing he did. So unless we unite, unless we come together and not forsake the assembly as some do, we're going to stay in the same state. We'll be lingering. As the word says, don't you wait.
Find somebody next to you. Trust the Most High to lead you to like-minded people that's got the faith. And if it starts out with just one, two, or three, but come together, assemble, because we're going to need each other in these coming days. My brother was here for me when I went through some things and was here to pray with me and encourage me when I needed it. I don't think I'm all that because they say I'm Elder V and I say I've been teaching this word, all that. Nah, we need each other. So we have to encourage each other and we have to exhort one another.
And how many people diminish? I don't think we understand some of the things that come out of people's mouths. How many people diminish the Ruach, that spirit? Just like he said. It says, when two or three together, I am in your midst.
I'm in the midst.
So when they telling you not to gather, that you don't have to assemble, you wait months, you wait days, he's telling you not to be in your midst. He's teaching you not to have the Ruach be amongst you. And that's where we get power from. That's where we get our wisdom from. If we don't come together,
wow,
we're limiting the power of that authority for him being in our midst.
Yeah.
I know I'm better off today. No matter what happens, my wife and me coming up here, I'm better off today because the Ruach was in our midst. And we, she can't wait to, I mean, she had a little apprehension coming up here because people that she didn't really know, but she can't wait to read some of the stuff that we just got. That's the Ruach working in us. She can't wait to give it back to her father that's sick. Again, that's the Spirit working in us. That's the power. I mean, why would you ever limit that power?
Right. That's a good point, bro. That's a good point. I didn't even see it like that. You shouldn't be telling people to hold up.
Yeah.
You telling people to hold up on getting into the presence of the Most High. It's deep.
He's in our midst when two or three of us get together.
When two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst. And he's right here. You all are hearing it right now because we're doing this broadcast live right next to each other. But if anybody's keeping you from gathering and they just want you to attend their virtual reality church, come on now.
And now you're going to ask yourself, if that's the only thing you're doing, what are you putting in your midst? What spirit are you going to gravitate to? Because the Most High, when we gather like that, he's going to lead us into all truth. Now, are you waiting just for a man to lead you in all truth? And neither one of us are saying, don't study to show yourself approved. Neither one of us is saying, like my brother says, like he like to eat it all up, chew it up, and spit the bones out.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. But we must come together. We must assemble. We must fellowship. We must have Yeshua be the head over all the body. Right? My brother's my elder over me right now. Why is that? Because we need to have things decent in order. When we come together on this feast day, when we come, it has to be decent in order. What time we're going to meet, what place we'll meet. And then the Most High is going to lead us in all truth when we do that. That's the understanding of this body. That's the understanding that when we do part from each other, we're not parting with a different head. We're still partnering with Yeshua being the head over us, the ruler over everything that happens, from my wife to my kids to my dog to my land that we live on.
Yeah.
He's the head over everything. And that's the most important thing.
All praises to the Most High.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say in closing?
No, I'm glad I'm up here. It's a blessing that the Most High gave me another day to get it right. I have unmerited favor, nothing that I've earned for myself, that he's done shown mercy to me, that all the iniquity that I practice, I'm not talking about just a sin, I practice iniquity. I practice trying to keep the kingdom not coming here. Like my brother said, the Most High showed me favor, he woke me up gradually, so I won't be the practice of iniquity. I wouldn't be practicing witchcraft. Right now, the only thing I search for is that wisdom of the Most High. I search for these laws, these concepts, these precepts, so I can depart them to anybody that will listen, to the value of these dry bones. And I'm thankful that I have another day to get it right. And when he gets ready to call me home, I want to be ready to be judged on what I've done. Following his words, I was able to shun everything else that Satan was willing to offer. Any kingdom, any vehicle, any house, if it didn't come from the Most High, if he didn't want me to have it, I don't need it. So when I have my judgment, when I go in front of the Most High, I want to say that what I present to myself is this sacrifice of the life that you gave me, that I gave it to you. And I kept all the things that you want me to keep to the best of my ability, and that you're my head. So that's what I want to say in closing. I hope that everybody else, that we understand that's what we need to do. That's our only purpose, to fear the Most High and keep his commandments.
Keep these commandments, brothers and sisters. If you can't get to the whole, learn all of them, just start with the and keep them in your life. And remember the Shabbat and keep it Kodesh. Keep it holy. Keep it set apart. That is our prayer, that you will find yourself with discipline in your life by being a disciple and learning these commandments and applying them to your life and your family's life. Change a man with the commandments, you'll change his family, you'll change the community, you'll change the city. This is what we need. So I'm going to close out by saying what I always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat shalom, barakatah, and kwam yasha Allah. Rise, Israel, let's rise.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna.
Outer space. I'm gonna send him to outer space.